Why do you give? Why do you give offerings? Why do you invest in missions? Why do you tithe? And I'm sure as you thought that through, a few different answers come to your mind. We know it's biblical. We know it's scriptural. We know what we're supposed to do, because we're supposed to behave what we believe, and we know the Bible teaches a lot about generosity, but it's still not really the reason we give. At least it's not why I give. I give because Jesus first gave to me. Even while I was a sinner, Jesus Christ gave to me. When my life was broken, and it was broken, and I was living in a dark, deep pit of sin, Jesus didn't give up on me. When my marriage had gone bad, Jesus didn't give up on me. When I wanted nothing to do with Christ, Christ still wanted everything to do with me. And the day He saved me, I gave my everything and my life to Him, and I owe Him everything because of what He's done for me. Giving is one of the easiest things you can do in the Bible, in my opinion, is to be generous with your time, talent, and treasure, because Jesus saved us. Say, Jesus saves. There's a story that a pastor tells, and he was, and believe it or not, it's kind of tough coming up in the ministry. as it can be in any career. And when God calls you, I don't know, we ate beans and rice and had Jesus Christ every day on a regular basis in the early going. And God has really blessed us over the years. But this pastor was telling the story of how money was really tight for them, and they had been visiting this little restaurant, and this little waitress had been waiting on them, It was on this pastor and his wife's heart to reach her for the Lord. The only time they ever saw her was the restaurant. And so they decided the next time they would go eat, and they didn't have they had a once-a-month dinner date. I would recommend once a week dating still. Look to your wife and say, let's go. It does not have much it cost. Filets are nice. I like filets. We had a filet Friday night, but peanut and butter and jelly works as long as you can be together. And so they went to this little restaurant, and they skipped the meal, or he wanted to skip his meal to leave a track and just a $10 tip for the waitress. So he didn't eat so that he could tip the waitress and be a witness. Before they left, they invited them to church and kind of used the phrase with her, did you know Jesus loves you? But didn't push her real hard, but they just felt they'd leave a testimony. Well, this pastor goes on to tell he couldn't wait for next month's date with his wife because he wanted to keep ministering to that little waitress. And he actually sacrificed a few other things where he could leave her a $50 tip. Long story short, they go, he asks for the same little waitress, and they get to share Christ with her just a little bit, not a hardcore witness. And when they left her a $50 tip, which was almost triple what the meal cost. They went home and prayed for her. Well, they're going back the next month, and they cannot wait to get back to see what's going on in her life. And they asked for her, and she comes. She said, I got to tell you something. First, well, what is it? And the pastor says his heart was just beating out of his chest. She said, I want you to know that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because of that little tract you left me. Amen. And not only that, I called my husband the day I received him, which, by the way, was just yesterday, and he has also received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. And the pastor goes on to say, well, why did you have to call him? Was he in work or what was going on? I said, no, he's in prison and still has a 2-year prison term. And said, I led him to the Lord over the phone. Amen to that. And this couple, this pastoral couple, began to disciple that little waitress, and he began to do prison visitations and disciple the husband. He got out of prison in about 2.5 years, ended up in their church, became members of their church, grew in their church, baptized in water in their church, marriage growing in their church, had kids in their church, and served the Lord the rest of their days. Give me an amen and God bless. And it was because of giving. She went on to tell him that money was so tight while her husband was in prison and how much that had touched her heart. It was because of the generosity of that pastor and his wife. When we give, and I'm not ashamed to ask people to give or teach people to give. We need to learn how to do it God's way, don't we? Because when we do stewardship, which is much bigger than money, but I am talking about money this morning. When we do money God's way, God blesses us. When we do the provision of finance God has given us, He blesses others, the kingdom expands, and He blesses us in return. Now, I know the give to get and the give so that I can be blessed, I know that that has been taught beyond Scripture. I understand that. There are some teachings out there that is beyond balance. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? But I want to tell you something, and I'm going to preach it this morning. When you are generous with the Lord, when you are faithful with your tithe, when you are generous with offerings as God leads you in missions and little girls and waitresses like this, God will always bless you back in return. Tenfold, 40-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. When I give, God gives back. And if you're a guest, you go, golly, I've been to church once this year and the preacher's talking about money. We don't beg for money, talk about, but we teach about how to do it God's way so that our people will be blessed. I don't have, you know, this little cup of water, I'm not going to tell you if you give $29.95, you can pour it in a bottle and sprinkle it on your family members and they'll be healed. I'm not going to give you that guff. But I am telling you this morning, when you give to God, He gives back to you. Generosity works when your heart is right and your motive is pure. This same pastor, the different pastor, and some of you have heard about Robert Morris. He's the one that wrote this book. He tells a story, and I could tell stories, but I thought I'd tell his story. He was in a building with 10,000 people, and I'll try to keep this story short, and we'll get on to the nuts and bolts of the message. And at the end, they were receiving a special offering, and he was still dirt poor at that time, and God placed on his heart to give $100. Which was a ton of money for him at that time. He's standing up in the balcony, and they ask everybody to stand to pray. And the speaker said, I want you to pray and ask God to bless you. Whatever you give, I want you to pray and ask God to bless you. And so he stands up, and he holds his money before God. It's $100. He said, Lord, in obedience to you and what your Spirit's saying to me tonight, I'm giving my $100. I know it's not much, but I'm praying that you'd bless me. And as he prayed, he reflecting back, he felt like the Holy Spirit came upon him. That was at least what he sensed. And he prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, I pray that you would bless me 100-fold. They receive the offering. They take the offering. Everybody sits down. After the service is over, a man is running up to him, and he didn't know this man from anybody. He said, young man, he said, during the time of the offering, I looked back over my shoulder up into the balcony, and he said, I didn't know if I'd be able to find you or not, but I looked up in the balcony, and you were holding an offering over your head, weren't you? And he said, yes, I was, sir. He said, well, when I saw you do that, the Lord spoke to me and told me that I was to write you a check for $10,000 here. And he goes on to say, then I was able to give more to the Lord. You find out that as he grew in tithes and in offerings, he was been able to give 70-80% of his income to the Lord and still be blessed and live nice. We have some folks that travel through here. We haven't seen them this year. You wouldn't know. They're wonderful people, good people, great people. They've been living on 90% or 10% of their income all their life and tithing 90%. You can't outgive God. And when you do give, God blesses you. Now you're saying, oh, you're presenting another one of those get-rich-quick schemes. No, I'm not. You're preaching give to get. No, I'm not. Here's what I'm presenting to you this morning. I'm presenting to you a lay-down-your-life challenge. Because if God doesn't have your wallet, he doesn't have all your heart. That's hard. I know that's hard, but it's true. He wants all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Let's read in Matthew 6:19, if we could, a few verses that we read a time before. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Say that with me. No one can serve two masters. Say that with me again. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And we understand from last week that it's God and Mammon, the Babylonian god of Mammon. I don't have time to review all that message, but a lot of you were here. You can't serve two masters. So we talked about Mammon last week. Let me say this. Either a spirit rests on money. And it's either the spirit of the living God or the spirit of Mammon. I want the spirit of God resting on my money. When I steward God's way, biblically, God's spirit rests on all my finances. How many know that's a good thing? But if we don't, by default, say default, the spirit of Mammon will rest on my finances. And we unpacked all that last week, and we got to the victory side and all that good stuff. This morning, I want to tell you that Mammon has friends. That little buddy's not traveling alone. Listen, Jesus Christ is for you and against you. He's for you, not against you. He's on your side in every facet of your life. But the other side is against you. Do you know that? Mammon has friends. They run in the same circles. They're little buddies. And especially when it comes to wealth and giving. Just as the spirit of Mammon will keep you from living a blessed life, so will his little buddies, the spirit of pride and the spirit of poverty. Where being a giver and generous will always result in a blessing of some sort. Are y'all with me this morning? See, a spirit of poverty will make you ashamed of your blessing. It can afflict both the poor and the rich. It's not a rich man or woman, poor man or woman thing. It manifests in a sense of shame and guilt about being blessed by God. I'm going to illustrate it here in a minute. There may be many of you this morning and God blesses you. And maybe that's a little embarrassing, but you don't have to be ashamed. You know, you get blessed and we know where the blessing comes from if we're walking with Christ, don't we? It comes from him. But we get this mentality, and it's a spirit of poverty that we feel like maybe that we have to apologize because we're being blessed financially. Somehow, and not so much in recent times, but since I've been in the church, somehow people taught that if you were rich, you were a sinner, and if you were poor, you were holy. Who come up with that idea? So still, it's not really a matter about money, although I'm talking about it this morning. It's a matter of the heart. Can somebody give me a big amen on that? Look, don't ever apologize if God has blessed you financially. If you know your financial blessing has come from the very hand of God, don't ever apologize for the blessing of God. Don't ever feel guilty for the blessing of God. Don't ever be ashamed of the blessing of God. Would you be ashamed in any other area of your life if you were blessed? Then don't be ashamed if Jesus is blessing you financially. Don't be ashamed of it. And then the old spirit of pride, it's kind of sneaky. You feel like you really earned it. You really deserve it. You worked, and look, we should work hard. The scripture says we should stay busy with our hands to provide for our households and all that. But I tell you what, anything we have, church, regardless of how hard we work, comes from the hand of the Almighty God. The spirit of pride say you've earned it, or of course I'm blessed. I should be blessed. I've earned it. I've worked hard. I'm talented. I come up with this idea. And both have a common denominator. These little buddies. They're not buddies at all. Y'all know I'm just being kind of funny. It puts our focus on the stuff instead of on Him. Puts our focus on the blessing or the lack of or anywhere in between instead of on the blessed sore. You see, the spirit of pride says wealth comes from hard work. The spirit of poverty says, that wealth come from the devil. The spirit of pride says be proud of what you have. The spirit of poverty says be ashamed of what you have. And they're both traps. Both of them are demonic traps. I said they're demonic traps. Just like the mammon is a demonic spirit, these are demonic spirits that want to rest on your finances. They're both traps because it tempts us to get our focus on the things instead of on the Savior. How do you respond when someone compliments something you have? Woo. Pride. Somebody said, hey, you got a nice suit. Well, I got that one from Europe. You don't have to worry about that with me. Poverty said, I got that old thing at Walmart on sale. Nothing wrong with either purchasing suits either way. Y'all understand what I'm saying though, right? Spirit of pride tries to make people, I make more money. Spirit of poverty tries to make people think you make less money. Not that it has to be anybody's business, but God's business. Spirit of poverty makes us feel like we have to justify our purchases. Let's expose it a little further. You ready? Let me say one more time. Let me ask you this morning. Are you blessed? And in much more ways than financially, right? And what a generous church you are. It's easy to preach stewardship and generosity to generous people. It makes my job easy. Are you blessed? Any of y'all out there blessed with a good wife? Oh, boy, you better be loud on that one. You got that right, buddy. How about a good husband? You love your children? Are you blessed? In our country, you got a roof over your head of some sort? Are you blessed? If you're saved this morning, are you blessed? Woo. Are you sure? Then if God has blessed you financially, are you blessed? Quit making apologies. Quit pretending like you did it, because he did do it. Quit pretending like, oh, poor me, you know, it's just a Walmart special. Be glad and rejoice and give God glory in the ways he's blessed you with the provision you have in your life. Let's give God a hand clap on that one. Stop feeling guilty. Don't be ashamed of a heart that has a passion to be generous and give to Jesus. Let me speak from experience, because I think we all can lose our balance one way or another there. Maybe some never had to struggle with this. About 15 years ago, and time flies when you're having fun, I remember when Pastor Monty and I had hair. Best haircut I ever had, Pastor. We had hair. We had a lot of other things we got rid of too, hallelujah. A few of you, because most of you are even new the last 5 years or so, but a few of you that have been with Darla and I a long time, well, remember about 15 years ago, I received a blessing from the Lord. I received a BMW. Not bad. And it wasn't just a 300 series or 500 series. It was a 740. And a man come into my office who wasn't even in our church, never has been in our church to this day. Never has. Come in my office and said, I think God's put something on my heart for you, Pastor Dale. And I said, well, okay, what is it? He said, no, you got to come out in the parking lot. Now, this is a guy, I've only known him 4 or 5 months probably. So he takes me out in the parking lot, and there's this beautiful, customized, wide tires and everything. He said, walks me out in the parking lot, and I said, well, he said, that's yours. I said, what's mine? He said, that car right there. I went, what car right there? I mean, I was standing right in front of it. He said, that 740 BMW is yours. I said, no, it's not. He said, no, I'm giving it. Lord has put on my heart to give you that car. Wow. Now, I tell you, just on a side note, it almost ruined me. Because I used to drive the speed limit until I got that BMW. I didn't go Lord forgive me, but you know it's true. Y'all love to hear pastors confess. I know that anyway. I went fast everywhere. I thought I was 16 all over again. That car would go. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, what's that got to do with your message? Absolutely nothing. But it is a true story. Well, one of the first few days I had it, we were at the old building, and I was walked up to my car, and there was a handful of people. None of you were there, but and I was starting to get in my new car, and the young man, he wasn't an old man, but he said, Pastor Dale, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going home. He said, what are you going home in? I said, this is my car. He goes, oh, no. I didn't say anything. I said, yeah, I'm headed home. See you later. And I hopped in my car. There were two other people with him. I remember him, but I don't remember who was with him. And he said, he runs up and taps on my window. Put your window down. I put my window down. He said, what are you doing driving a BMW? I said, well, somebody gave it to me a few days ago. Said, the Lord put it on her. He goes, oh, no. He said, can I pray for you? This is really true. I went, yeah, I guess so. He called the other two people over. Now, I know for a fact, I mean, this particular man really thought he knew the word. He wanted everybody to know he knew the word, but he never gave a nickel to God. I know. Every now and then he'd wheel by our compassion ministry and hand somebody a $20 bill like he's doing something good, but he wanted everybody to know about it. That's just a side note. I said, yeah, you can pray for me. Well, he prayed the most religious, condemning prayer. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't. Look, I'm covered by the blood. I don't care. God's got me. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, please protect Pastor Dale from this BMW. I'm going, what? I mean, in my mind, I'm going, we pastors get a lot of prayers. We just take it, and, you know, some of them are good, some of them are well-meaning, and we just move on, and that's just a preacher thing. I'm like going, what? Protect me from this BMW. And, Lord, I'm not sure he should have had it, but now he has it, and I just pray he wouldn't become arrogant and he wouldn't become proud. And, I mean, he went on a roll, and I'm sitting there going, what? Then he finished, said, God bless you, Pastor. See you later. I said, God bless you. See you later. Wow. I should have fishtailed on the way out. This is really true. Well, let me tell you, for the next couple of weeks, I didn't put it all together. Let me give you a background on my cars. Cars mean nothing to me. I've had a lot of nice cars. I've driven a lot of clunkers. I'd drive an old beat-up pickup truck tomorrow in a heartbeat, and it wouldn't bother me a bit. Might bother you, but it wouldn't bother me. It's just stuff has never meant that much to me, and I've had times where I've had barely any stuff and times I've had a lot of stuff. But cars, in fact, at the time the car was given to me, I was driving an old beat-up purple. I had it painted purple because I only wanted to spend $200 on the special paint job convertible that had holes in it. And I was just as happy. And I'm going to tell you what. I was just as happy in that as I was in the BMW. Almost. Look to your neighbor and say, I understand. But it was just, and I know the enemy was, for a couple of weeks, I drove around like, I parked where people would see me get out of that BMW. I went to a network golf conference and parked as close to the preacher as I could. And when I got out, whoa, Dale, what are you driving? Ah, Beamer. I'm just telling y'all the truth. And I think the spirit of pride creeped in a little bit there. But then I went through this situation, like, maybe the Lord was convicting me over it. I was ashamed I had it. I'm not even kidding you. And for the next couple of weeks, if I was going to a preacher's meeting, this is true. I didn't want any pastor to know I was driving a BMW. I'd park it even in another parking lot where they wouldn't see it. I didn't share it with any of my people in my church. I parked in a different place because I didn't want anybody to know that I was driving a BMW. I think I was battling with the spirit of poverty. For a week or two, I was so proud I owned it. It didn't look, it didn't come from my hand. It had nothing to do anything I'd ever done. It was a gift from God. Then I struggled with the spirit of poverty because I was ashamed. I just didn't want anybody to know. And I got before the Lord and I finally got the victory. And it was in worship. I worship a lot privately, not just pray and read my word, but in my devotions, I worship a lot privately because I've found it's just a way for me to touch God, and God touched me. And I was worshiping, and this car was before me, and all of a sudden, I got the victory. And this is what I felt the Lord said to me in his still, quiet voice, only it was a still, loud voice. You know, sometimes we hear the still quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. For me, sometimes it's the still loud voice. It's not audible, but it's now. Been trying to get your attention. He said it just this way. For crying out loud, Dale, because it was used. It was an older car. He said, because when he said this, I knew exactly what he meant. For crying out loud, Dale, it's only a $10,000 car. Oh, my gosh. I had a car in my driveway that was triple that. And then he said, and besides that, I blessed you with it. God is so good. And he'll use stuff, not just to test our heart, but to shape our heart, to shape us, to grow us. He not only uses our stuff, he uses other people's stuff. And I don't want to go that way too long, but how do you respond when somebody else is being blessed? We could talk about that for 30, 40 minutes. But I want to tell you one thing. By the grace of God, and I mean this, and I talked about y'all earlier, but I tell you, when you're being blessed, I'm being blessed. You bless when your children are blessed. Does it bless you? If your grandchildren are being blessed, does it bless you? If your friends are being blessed, does it bless you? Say yes, say it loud. Because yes. If there's any struggle there, something's going on. But I tell you what, when you're winning, I'm winning. And hopefully when I'm winning, you're winning. And we live at all socioeconomic levels, and all of that comes from God, and stewardship has to apply regardless of how much finance you have. But every nickel, every dime, every thousand, every million, every 3 million, every BMW, or a good old beat up old pickup truck you can get muddy all the time, still comes from the hand of our Savior. And that's why it's better to give than receive. But when we do give, we do get blessed back in return from the Savior that loves us and the Savior that we love so much. It's not the stuff, it's Jesus. I want to ask you this morning. The Scripture says you cannot serve two masters. Cannot serve God and mammon or any of his little buddies. Which master are you serving? What spirit rests on your finances? Jesus wants it all. So he gave all to us. And he wants us to go after him. Will you ask yourself a few questions? I have a few more minutes. Are you trusting God to meet your needs? He will. He does. Or do you trust people? You get angry or resentful when others are blessed? Have you struggled in any of these other areas I talk about? But let me tell you, if you look anywhere else but him, sooner or later you're always going to be disappointed. See, in your situation in life, pride always says I deserve more. Poverty always says I should feel guilty. Gratitude says thank you. Gratitude says thank you, Jesus. See, gratitude is an attitude that thanks God for the provision they have. Let's be gracious. Let's be gracious with God and gracious with each other. Someone says, wow, you have a nice house. Pride will say, well, we're going to build a bigger one. Poverty says, oh, it's a foreclosure. Gratitude says, thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. The Lord has blessed us. And say it humble. Somebody says, you got a nice dress. Well, that's tailor-made. Is that the way a lady would say it? I don't know. Every lady in here is going, what is he doing? He don't know nothing. Jack. Poverty says it's half price. I know some of you ladies thought, it's on sale. I'm not going there. Everything's on sale. I'm not going there. It wasn't in the budget. I'm not going there. Just say thank you. Somebody says, that's a nice car. Don't say, well, I've got three just like it. Oh, it's just a company car. Gratitude says thank you. Pride wants people to think we paid more or we more than what we are. And poverty wants people we paid less or we're less than we are. Just say thank you, Jesus. Even if most of you reflect today where you were when you were lost like I was, and we sit here today, just say thank you, Jesus. Some of you may not know Christ this morning. I'm going to give you a chance here just in a moment, because there's no amount of money, no nothing worth the price of salvation that Jesus gives. Say thank you, Jesus. Remember where you were? I see a lot of tears in the audience this morning. Talk about money and people crying. Isn't that something? Remember where you were and think about where you are. You may not be in a perfect place this morning, but you're in His hand. And that's the perfect place to be. So just say thank you, Jesus. Say it with me again. Thank you, Jesus. When somebody makes a comment on something that you steward over, just be grateful. Because listen to me. Gratitude doesn't care what anybody thinks. Gratitude just cares about what he thinks. This morning, I think. Thank you, Jesus. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Aren't you glad he doesn't change like shifting shadows? Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of a first fruits of his creatures. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Every perfect good and perfect gift. It's because we give because He first gave to us. But listen, when we do, He multiplies back to us. And He transforms others along the way. Can you give the Lord a hand this morning?